starting from the north to the south. All of them advised me. He said, Mauli Ibrahim sahab, Dora Hadis ke liye aap Darul Deoband chale jaiye. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf bin Nodi sahab, Hazrat Maulana Ehtisam ul Haq Thanvi sahab, Maulana Ghulam Ullah Khan sahab, Maulana Idris Khan Dehlvi sahab, Maulana Ahmed Ali Lahori sahab, Maulana Amin Hassan Isai sahab, Rahmatullah Ali. My taluk with them was a very, very close one. All of them told me, please go and do your Dora Hadis in Darul Deoband. You will never be sorry. And that is when I decided that I am going to Darul Deoband. And then from Lahore, I went to Darul Deoband, and I was there for the next 5 years. Alhamdulillah, I did my Dora Hadith there as well, qualified from there, graduated from there, and at the end of 1969, after qualification, I then took the Kampala, and I bought a lot of kitabs whilst I was in Darul Deoband. All those kitabs came into 17 iron trunks. Each trunk had about 50 kitabs. So alhamdulillah, in those days, the Kampala and the Kazanja, these two lines, had no limit on how much you can bring. There was no 50 kilos or 100 kilos. So 17 trunks, and I went down to Bombay, and 17 trunks I gave, you know, in those days, tips used to work very, very well. So I tipped the people, the person who was in charge, I gave him a nice tip, and he then loaded the 17 trunk onto the Kampala and put it into the hold. And those are the kitabs that I brought back with me to South Africa. And that is with me in the library that I have, which I make mutala of. Had it not been for that, I would not have had the opportunity to make mutala as I do. So alhamdulillah, I came back to South Africa in
this year from South Africa.
Yeah, very important. I went to my asatiza in Darul Deoband, and I spoke to them. The first person I went to was my peer sahab, Hazrat Zakaria sahab Rahmatullahi. I went to him and asked him, Hazrat, give me some advice. As when I go back to South Africa, what should I teach? What should my leaning be? And what should I be interested in? So he told me, he said, listen to me. As far as the people of the West are concerned, all over from the letters that I receive, about deen, they have a lot of knowledge. Lot knowledge about the deen. But with regard to the Akhirah, they know very little. So my advice to you is, Ibrahim, listen to me. My advice to you is, concentrate on teaching about the Akhirah to your people. In all your lessons, concentrate on the Akhirah. Teach the people about the Akhirah. Teach them after they die what is going to happen to them. Concentrate on that. Emphasize on that. So alhamdulillah, that was good advice. I went to Hazrat Fakhruddin sahab, the Sheikh al-Hadith of Darul Deoband. I went to him. I went to Hazrat Ibrahim Bilyawi sahab, Ramtulay. And lastly, I went to Qari Tayyab sahab, Ramtulay. And all of them gave me exactly the same advice. Concentrate when you return on the Akhirah. Teach people about the Akhirah. People know enough about the deen as applied to the dunya, but about Akhirah, they know very little. There's a lot of weakness with regard to the Akhirah. Alhamdulillah, I returned at the end of 1969 1970, I came back to South Africa. When I came back to South Africa, this is the crux of my talk, which I'm now giving to you. After I came back to South Africa, I went straight to our house in Stellenbosch, and alhamdulillah, my parents were fascinated, very happy that we had come back. My brother came back also with me, Ali Adam, he also came back with me, and we were established there in Stellenbosch. So alhamdulillah, after that, we started with our teaching activities. The first thing that happened was at the end of 1969, I don't know how many of you can remember, there was a place in Cape Town called Hanover Street. In District 6. There is a place in District 6 in Hanover Street called the Seven Steps. A very famous landmark. It was a gangster area, but the gangsters, many of them were Muslims. They protected me, and I never had any problem with them. Now, what happened when I came back, my fellow colleagues and students who studied with me in matriculation, we were together from Standard 7 to matriculation. They came to me and I returned. They said, Mullah, do us a favor. You have gone to India, you became an alim, and you have come back. Please conduct lessons for us. And we have an area, we have premises where you can come and teach us the deen. We want to learn the deen. So I agreed with them because they had come to me, and the area, the place which they had was near the seventh step. There was a three-story building. And on the third floor, that was where they were housed. And there were about 150 students there. They came to me and I started teaching them there. There were about 100 boys and about 50 girls that used to come regularly every Monday night. I used to travel from Stellenbosch, go up to there every night to teach. I'm giving you this in order to show you that ulama have to make huge sacrifices, a lot of effort they have to make in order to teach the deen. It's not easy. Without sacrifice, you don't achieve anything. And I'm tracing this background for you, Ibarat, so that we can come to know how to make this effort. So, alhamdulillah, I used to go to. Then, what happened, I used to go for Salah, for Isha Salah, to the Miosrit Masjid. And when I went there, Sheikh Abu Bakr Najjar was the president of the MGC. He was the imam of that masjid. One night he called me in, about a week later, he called me and he said, Mala Adam, tell me something. Why are you here? So I laughed it off. I couldn't understand what he was driving at. He said, tell me something. This masjid belongs to the Kanamiya community. And I think they have invited, the committee has invited you to come here because they want to replace me as the imam of the masjid. They are happy with me. So I kept quiet. I told him, you know, sir, you think I have a business in Stellenbosch. You think I'm going to leave my business there and come here to be an imam? I assure you that there's no ways I'm going to leave Stellenbosch and come here to be the imam. He felt so happy, so relaxed, that he turned around and told me, Mona, tell me something. Why are you teaching in Hanover Street? I am advising you from next week, tell your student they must come here. I have a basement in this music masjid where the girls can be, and in the masjid you can teach the boys. So alhamdulillah, we're very happy at the fact that the assurance I gave him, I'm not there to replace him as an imam. So he offered that to me. He was very relaxed, very happy. Alhamdulillah. And then we moved over from Hanover Street and we came into the masjid. 4 years I taught, and the class increased tremendously. Eventually, we were over 1,000 boys and girls that were studying in Miosis Masjid. And I used to travel from Stellenbosch, go every Monday to Miosis and conduct my classes there. Eventually, who knew this was going to happen? Eventually, the Muslim Judicial Council became totally unhappy with my subject matter that I was teaching. And they were unhappy at the matter. Now, remember, all my asatizah had advised me, concentrate on akhirah. When you go back, teach all about the akhirah and not about the dunya. So that is what I started. I started the series on life after death, about judgment, qiyamah, and what will happen on the day of qiyamah and all that. So I started teaching that. And the result was, strangely enough, you will find this very hard to believe, but I assure you and promise you, it is the absolute truth. The ulama, or the shuyukh of the MJC, were totally opposed to it. They had a belief. Their belief was, a Muslim will never ever suffer in the grave. There is no torture for a Muslim in the qabr. And no Muslim will ever go into Jahannam. All going to Jahannam. This was their firm belief. So what I was teaching, I was qualifying. I said, a Muslim is a Muslim. Yes, it is true. But if a Muslim does not subscribe to and live according to the deen of Islam, if he is not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does not follow the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no way. If he commits nifaq, hypocrisy, if he is not obedient to Allah, all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he doesn't perform his faraid and he doesn't follow the sunnah and he commits hypocrisy, there is no way that he can be saved in the qabr. He will also be punished in the qabr. And in the hereafter, yes, there will be those who will be thrown into Jahannam also as a result of their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is what I was teaching and I was qualifying. This was unacceptable in Cape Town to the shuyukh. The result was that eventually they got around. They removed me from the Miosis Masjid. After 4 years, I was removed from the Miosis Masjid. They exercised pressure on Najjar to have me removed. Then I went to a masjid from Cape Town. I used to go to Goodwood Masjid. It was a new masjid. Then from Cape Town, I used to go to Goodwood and I used to conduct classes there. In Goodwood, I had many students also. And then from there, I used to go home. So they removed me from Miosis Masjid. Then they had me removed, who? The MJC. They had me removed from the Goodwood Masjid. On Thursday evening, I used to go to the Belha Masjid and I used to teach there, because that committee had come to me to ask me that I must come and teach them there. My fame was spreading. I say this with humility. Fame was spreading. Everybody was listening to the lessons and appreciating it. So the Bella people came to me and said, Mala, we've got no classes there and we are very, very ignorant of the teachings and practice of Islam. Why didn't you come and teach us here in Belha? So I said, I got no problem. Thursday evening we keep for that. So I used to travel from Stellenbosch, go to Belha Masjid from Maghrib to Isha, and I used to teach them, which is about 1.5 hours, and teach there. So I was teaching in the Gudud Masjid, in the Belha Masjid. And then after that, I went to the Sari Estate Masjid. I went to the Sari Estate Masjid and I started teaching there. My most successful classes were in the Sari Estate Masjid. I promise you, there were more than 1,000 male and more than 500 females that used to come to the Sari Estate Masjid to listen to my lessons. Many of them used to make and keep notes of what I was conducting there. On Sundays, early in the morning after Fajr, I used to travel to Worcester, which is about 80 kilometers away from Stellenbosch. I used to go to Worcester, and between 8 and 10 o'clock, I used to conduct classes for 1.5 hour to 2 hour in Worcester. Then from Worcester, I used to go to Pal, and I told the Pal Jamaat to unite with the Wellington Jamaat, and they should come to the Pal Masjid. So I used to conduct classes there. So from 10 o'clock to 11:30, I used to conduct classes in Pal to two Jamaat. Which Jamaat? The Pal Jamaat and the Wellington Jamaat. Then from there, I used to come to Stellenbosch, perform my job, and then I used to teach in summer. So on a Sunday was my busy day. I conducted classes and lessons in Worcester, and then to Pal, and then in Stellenbosch. So alhamdulillah, what is amazing, I was disabled, and yet I was able to go. Let the ulama learn from this, that how much a person can do if he is determined and he does it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not saying it, I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, I'm not critical of anybody, but the ulama have a major role to play in spreading the deen, especially in these days in which we are living. And that is how I had conducted my lessons. Alhamdulillah, thousands of students were benefiting. In Pal, there was a sheikh there. His name was Sheikh Murat. And he, Adnan Murat was his name. He came to me and he said, Mona, I love your classes. You are doing a magnificent job. I also sit in your classes. But I have a brother. And my brother is the principal of a school known as the South Peninsula High School. My brother Murat is the principal of the school. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go and meet him. There's a masjid near the South Peninsula High School, but there's no imam in that masjid. And they want you to be the imam there in that particular masjid and to conduct Juma. Over 100 students, Muslim students from South Peninsula High School will attend the Jummah day, and there are 17 teachers, Muslim teachers, in the they've got no place to go for Jummah because the time they have is very short. So they will also come and attend the classes. Please go there and meet my brother, the principal, and see if you can accommodate them. So I eventually decided to go to this area called Deep River. And I went to South Peninsula High School. I met Mr. Murat. He was fascinated. He told me, you know what my brother has told me about you and your classes? Please, man, please come and make this masjid alive. Put life into it, come here for Jummah, and we will appreciate it. I asked him, who is in charge of the masjid? He told me that a family by the name of the Akhlikers are in charge of the masjid. You go and meet them. And inshallah, if they give you permission, bring a masjid to life and have a Jummah there. So alhamdulillah, I went and met the Akhlikers. They welcomed me and they were very, very happy for me to come there for Jummah. One thing I've done my whole life, and I would like to present that to you. I never have ever taken a salary for whatever I have taught. Never took. In Cape Town, there's a habit, what they call sawat, like burger. After the lessons or after Jummah, the public comes and they place money in your hands. And that is for yourself. But I accepted these monies, and in front of the people, not deliberately, I just put it into the masjid box. I've always done that, never, up to today, never taken wages. So alhamdulillah, in this masjid of Hussein, when I started there, people were very, very happy that the masjid was brought back to life. I also want to relate to you another incident. You may have heard of this person, Sheikh Saleh Abadi Ramatullahi, very, very famous person. He used to go and perform the Taraweeh in Durban. And that is how the whole of Durban came to know him. When I started with Jummah in this Masjid of Hussein in Diplova, opposite the South Peninsula High School, the person who used to come there, Sheikh Saleh Abadi Ramtulali, was the first person. He phoned me from, he used to live in Bukab in Upper Cape Town. He was the first person who phoned me and told me, Maulana, I've heard your talk. There's nothing wrong with your talk. I don't know why the MGC wants to remove you from wherever you are. There's no reason. Everything you are teaching is a haq. It is the truth. And I endorse it. I've heard it. I've listened to it. There's no problem I have with your lessons at all. So when I went to this masjid, he used to come and perform the Jummah. That's the amount of support. And the people were so happy of the Masjid of Hussein because they were getting one of the most prolific khutbahs, a wonderful reciter, to come and perform the Jummah day. And he told them, I am coming here because of Mala Adam. Because he is here, he gives the khutbah, he gives the talk. I am coming here in support of him. Not because of your people, but to support him, I'm coming here into this masjid to lead the Jummah. So I used to perform the khutbah and give the talk, and he used to lead the salah. So alhamdulillah, though there was opposition to me, there were people, remarkable people, who supported me. Though few in number, there were another family that gave me total support. And you may know them, they are from the Transvaal, the Bulbulia family, the Nobs. They used to support me, full-time support me. I give you an incident. I was teaching in the Sharia Masjid. After 2 years in the Sharia Masjid, as I say, over 1,000 males and over 500 females used to regularly attend the classes. It was the biggest class that you can ever think of in Cape Town. And they used to attend regularly. One night, the imam of the masjid came to me. And he said, Mola, I want you to come and have tea with us at my home. So I said, no problem. After I finish my lessons, I will come to you. not realizing what is going to happen there. Now listen very carefully to what I'm going to outline for you. After the lessons, Isha Salah and everything, I went over to the Imam's house. When I went there, there were 12 people, the committee, seated around a table. And there was one chair empty. So I went and sat down on that chair, thinking that it's for me that the chair is empty. When I sat down there, the person next to me, sitting next to me, pulled out a gun and he pointed the gun at my head. And he said, "This is the last lesson you are delivering in the Sari Estate Masjid. If you ever come in future to this masjid, I will shoot you dead." There's a gun. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what happened. I burst out laughing. And I told this man, I told him, "Please, brother, shoot me dead, because then I'm shaheed. I go straight to Jannah." Everybody sitting on the 12 people are absolutely in shock. They cannot understand that a person wants to. This person is telling me, "Do you know who I am?" I said, "I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, give me shahadat." So he's also surprised. And then, of course, he puts a gun away and knocks his head on the door. And the Imam goes and opens the door. And he opens the door, Shafiq Bulbulia of the Nobs Brothers comes inside. He says, "Mona, why are you taking so long? This was only a tea for which you were invited. You're here for over an hour. Why is it taking so long?" Then I related to him what this man had done. He pointed a gun at me. Shafiq had a gun with him, pulled out the gun, and he came and stood next to this person, pointing a gun at him, and he said, "What are you up to? What are you trying to do with Maulana?" And he had the gun in his hand. So this chap, for the first time, got frightened. The Bulbulia brothers were known as gangsters, if I can use that word. And a lot of people had a lot of fear for them. So, alhamdulillah, as a result, Shafiq told me, "Maulana, our car is outside. You go outside and get into our car. We'll take you home." I told him, "No, I've got my own car. I'll follow you people." So, alhamdulillah. Now, another incident I just want to relate to you quickly. After I got home, I received a phone call. And the phone call was, when I was teaching in the new Muir Street Masjid, there was the sister of this person, this Mr. Dewitt. The sister phoned me and she told me, "Maulana, that person who pointed the gun at you is my brother. I apologize. I didn't know that he wanted to shoot you. And I apologize for this. I'm very sorry. You've taught me so much that I'm very sorry for what has happened. If I had known, I would have informed you." Anyway, that happened. 2 weeks later, she phoned me. And she said, "Mona, my brother has been shot and killed by gangsters." So this person who pointed, Allah works in strange ways. 2 weeks later, he was shot and killed by gangsters. He was a gangster himself. So alhamdulillah, this is how things happened in those days. But anyway, the other story is that the MJC of that day exercised a lot of pressure on the committees. Muir Street Masjid, I was removed. Goodwood Masjid, I was removed as a result of pressure being applied. Belha Masjid, I was removed. Sari Estate Masjid, I was removed. Then Sheikh Musa Titus, a very good friend of mine, he used to come to Surrey Estate to sit with me. He was an alim, but he used to come to my class in Surrey Estate. So he came to me when I was removed from Surrey Estate Masjid, and Sheikh Musa told me, Mullah, you come to our masjid. My masjid, where I'm imam, is in Primrose Park. You come and deliver your talk in Primrose Park. Inshallah, nothing will happen there. So I went to Primrose Park and commenced my next lesson. All the students whom I was teaching in the Surrey Estate Masjid all transferred themselves over, and more than 1,000 and even more. Because every new area I went to, the local people used to come to the classes. And there, over 1,500 males used to come in the Prima. And Sheikh Musa Titus encouraged a lot of people to come to the class as well. But there was one mischief maker in Primrose Park Masjid. His name was, and for the first time, I haven't named anybody, but his name I'm going to take. His name was Hamid Khabir. And he started making a lot of mischief in the masjid. While I am teaching, he used to interrupt. He used to send students of his to come and interrupt me. And he started playing all kinds of mischief making. I told this to Sheikh Musa Taita. I said, you know, this man is disturbing me.